Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
From KQED.
A couple of years ago, we saw pictures of children separated from their parents and put in cages. Today, federal immigration authorities are still taking an aggressive approach to detaining and deporting people. And in this pandemic, that's meant that detention centers where immigrants are held, including here in California, have become really dangerous.
They have admitted that they don't have the capacity or the willingness to make sure that they are testing individuals as they should, or even providing them the treatment that they need.
A federal judge in San Francisco has stepped in to try to stop the spread of the coronavirus in at least one facility in Bakersfield. But it's also been the detainees themselves, Black and brown immigrants, who've pushed back and joined calls across the state to release more people from incarceration. I'm Devin Katayama. Welcome to The Bay.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Cristian Orellana is a 22-year-old who was brought to the U.S. by his family at the age of two, and so he grew up in L.A.
Frida Javala Romero is an immigration reporter for KQED, and she's been looking into problems at an immigration detention center in Bakersfield known as Mesa Verde. That's where Cristian is currently being held.
His family left El Salvador. They said they were fleeing violence. And Cristian has dealt with a number of mental health issues over the years. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia and PTSD as well. He recently won his immigration case at the immigration court in San Francisco. An immigration judge said that the government shouldn't deport Cristian back to El Salvador. But he's still being detained at Mesa Verde. Because the government is appealing the judge's decision and has decided to keep Cristian locked up while they do that. Cristian tested positive for COVID July 29th.
I asked him if he was okay, and he just said, I'm having trouble breathing. I can't breathe. I am afraid for my life.
Cristian's attorney, Ambar Tovar, she works at the United Farm Workers Foundation in Bakersfield. So she says she's been in very, you know, regular phone calls with Cristian since he was diagnosed positive. She says he has had really severe symptoms for COVID.
You know, throughout this period, he has been feeling symptoms of high fevers, body chills, body aches, headaches, dizziness, and most troubling and especially shortness of breath.
Cristian told her that he's not getting the treatment that he needs at Mesa Verde, that he has been seen by a nurse, but not by a doctor yet, and that he's really worried that he's going to die, that he just can't breathe.
I was informed by another colleague that her client had informed her that my Cristian had collapsed to the floor and complaining that he was not able to breathe. When they requested that the guards help him and take him to the medical unit, the guard simply told Cristian to get up and go to his bed.
The attorney, Ambar, is being told by officials at Mesa Verde that Cristian is fine, that they're keeping an eye on him. And then they told me for the story I wrote that Cristian hasn't you know, exhibited any severe symptoms, you know, that there's that he doesn't seem to be in distress. And so we have like two totally different pictures of what's happening to this man inside Mesa Verde. But Ambar was so worried about him just this weekend on Sunday that she called 911 for somebody to go check on him. He is really worried that he's not getting the medical treatment that he needs at this point.
I do not trust this facility. I do not trust ICE to be taking the steps that are necessary to make sure that my client is well and stays alive.
Christian isn't the only person being held at Mesa Verde with COVID-19. As of Thursday, ICE has reported at least 14 confirmed cases among detainees. Attorneys have told Frida that there are employees who've tested positive as well. These detention centers are part of the federal government's plan to deport more immigrants, and many of them are for profit. Mesa Verde, for example, is owned by the GEO Group. Advocates worry that this for-profit status is incentive to keep more people locked up than necessary.
Before, you know, a lot of the people that were detained in ICE detention centers came straight from the border, from being detained by Customs and Border Protection. But most of the new detainees that are being brought to detention centers are coming from state and local prisons. So these are folks who have served their sentences already. And even if you, you know, started with like a green card or if you had legal status, because you committed a crime, a serious crime, you can be deported. And so the ICE will pursue those cases and will ask prison officials, jail officials to hold those inmates and when they're about to be released and then arrest them and transfers them to a detention center. And some of these jails and prisons have big COVID outbreaks right now.
And it also sounds like, I mean, based on the history of ICE's treatment of people being detained at these facilities, that people were rightfully concerned about what's happening in ICE detention, especially around the time that, of the spread of the pandemic. So what do people do about it at Mesa Verde?
Emmy, I think now we're recording. Okay.
Emmy McLean is an attorney with the San Francisco Public Defender's Office.
So can you please help me understand the judge's order today?
And she is one of the lawyers representing plaintiffs in this lawsuit to force them to make changes inside the facility so that people could socially distance.
So a federal district court judge ordered that ICE needs to act, that ICE cannot be trusted to act absent the intervention of the courts.
The judge has ordered a bunch of people released from that facility. Before these detainees sued, there were groups like the ACLU that were asking ICE to release detainees who might not need to be locked up the whole time.
They do not have the option of avoiding contact with others, have peacefully protested these conditions of confinement with a hunger strike.
And so they can release people on parole and bond. But, you know, people felt like they weren't doing it enough. And so they sued in federal court in San Francisco.
We have uncovered through our litigation that ICE has known about the threat of an outbreak, has identified strategies that would have prevented damning consequences, and has refused to act.
And then last week, Judge Vince Chabria also ordered ICE and the GEO Group to test everyone at the facility at least weekly for COVID.
I think the order from Judge Chabria is an extraordinarily important order, but it's also only a stopgap measure. There are still people in the facility who are in highly risky conditions and who should be released and frankly should have been released long ago.
Detainees have held a series of hunger strikes in the last couple of months. And to try to, you know, bring attention to this issue, they've written letters to lawmakers, Governor Gavin Newsom, and they're really worried that one of the factors that is bringing COVID into the facility now are people who are being transferred from other, you know, jails and prisons into the facility. So the lawsuit has been, you know, effective for many people because now they can be outside of the facility during the pandemic. But attorneys say that it's not enough, that they need to get more people out of detention.
As part of the lawsuit, attorneys also uncovered emails that showed this mess that facilities are in now could have been avoided. They showed ICE turned down an opportunity to get testing for detainees early on, but denied it, because then they'd have to try to find a place to house infected people. Now, it's a full-blown crisis. Detainees at Mesa Verde wrote a letter that was released last week saying COVID-19 is, quote, spreading like wildfire inside the facility, and that it takes days just to see a doctor and get something as simple as Tylenol. Well, it seems like there is real reason to be skeptical about the treatment going on in ICE detention centers, and, you know, the healthcare that's happening or not happening to people inside. Other than ICE itself and what the, you know, attorneys and this one Bay Area judge has changed, who else holds the power to do something to improve the safety in these ICE facilities?
ICE is a federal agency, so it's part of the Department of Homeland Security. So DHS could change things the way ICE is doing things. But that's one of the main tensions, right, in California, at least with immigration detention centers, is that local elected officials in the state want changes, like, for example, like to stop ICE from bringing new people from other jails into their detention centers to stop the spread of COVID. But there's only so much they can do. And so state officials can, you know, make changes to like state policy, or they can't directly change the way ICE is doing things.
Can Governor Newsom do anything?
Advocates and dozens of state lawmakers and some elected officials are calling on Newsom to tell the California state prison system to stop sending people to ICE detention centers. So once people are done with their sentences, that they be released into the community instead of being transferred into ICE detention centers. But advocates say the governor hasn't really responded to that. And when we've asked for, you know, comment from his office about this, they've been quiet.
How do you see this story, which, you know, you reported on for a while, in the context of everything else that's happened in the past few months with the pandemic and, you know, the protests and uprising about police and racial justice?
Immigration detention centers are, you know, mostly filled with Black and brown people, you know? There's been, you know, advocates and others that have been pushing to really show to the outside world what's happening in these facilities and how people are treated. And the pandemic is highlighting some of the issues that were there before about medical treatment or, you know, crowded conditions. I mean, I think honestly, it seems like it's the same issues. I don't know how much is coming from the abolitionist movement to changes in detention centers, but immigration advocates, I think, see those two issues very connected. The basic question of, do people need to be locked up?
Just this week, another group of attorneys representing people at Mesa Verde filed papers in court alleging a Black immigrant named Alton Edmondson was held in what they call a makeshift cell without an adequate bed for more than 7 days. A group of immigrant rights advocates have also sent a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom, State Attorney General Javier Becerra, and Senator Kamala Harris, connecting the treatment inside Mesa Verde to the larger problem of racial injustice. Frida Jabala Romero reports on immigration for KQED. She asked ICE and the GEO Group for comment on Christian Orellana's situation. ICE said they couldn't weigh in because of the lawsuit, while the GEO Group denied that Christian was receiving poor medical treatment. The Bay is produced by Erica Cruz Guevara and editor Alan Montesilio. KQED's leadership team includes Jessica Placek, Erica Aguilar, Vinny Tong, Ethan Tobin Lindsay, and Holly Kernan. We are part of your public media station, KQED. I'm Devin Katayama. That's it from us. Talk to you Monday.